So this allows us to real time, instead of me having to do all the scriptures ahead of time and put them in order and have Amy type them all up, we can live, she can just type in the scripture and it comes up. But we're learning, so give us all grace, okay? So, and Giselle has joined the audiovisual team, so that's, and Victoria has joined the greeting team. Yay! So growth and change. I mean, situations like we've just walked through with Henry, you know, one of the things that's so important for us is to be able to know that we're hearing God, right? We need to hear God. And so I'm going to just, this is pretty basic stuff that I want to talk about today, but it's just about how do we hear God? How do we make sure we're hearing God? And this is the number one complaint I think Randy and I get from people as they come to us and say, I don't hear God. How do I hear God? And so that's what I'm going to talk about today. A lot of times people believe that others can hear from God, but they don't believe that they can. And we need to understand that the hearing God isn't for anointed, prophetic, you know, an office. It's for every one of them. In John chapter 10, verse 27, John 10, 27, it says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and a stranger's voice they will not follow." So if you've received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you're a sheep. Now, I think Chris Valentin makes a really good point, is it doesn't say my lambs hear my voice. It says my sheep. So I think that there is a growing process. When we first come to Christ, we're little lambs, and so we're not as familiar with his voice, and so there's a process that we go through to learn how to hear him. But he is always speaking. Many times people will say to me, I don't hear his voice. I know this one particular person, it's nobody here, so don't come up after me afterwards and say, were you talking about me? But I remember this one woman who would come to me and say, I don't hear his voice, therefore I'm not a sheep, therefore I'm not born again. That's the conclusion she came to. I must not really be born again because I don't hear his voice, and it says his sheep will hear his voice. Well, his lambs are learning, but when I would talk to her and when I would look at her life, it was obvious she heard God because she had been in a really bad church and now was in a really good church. She had joined a Bible study where she was getting really good teaching and she was growing in the things of the Lord. When I heard her talk about Scripture, she had really good revelation and understanding of the Word. How many know that that's all from the Lord? Like, if you've come to this church and you feel like this is where you're supposed to be, guess what? You heard God, because you're not smart enough to figure that out yourself. Really? I mean, a lot of times, I'm being serious, because a lot of times we think it's our wisdom and ourselves that led ourselves, but you've heard God. A lot of times the choices you're making and the places you're going and the walk that you're doing is you hearing God. Now, hearing God, we use that term, but it doesn't mean that you're hearing him necessarily like you're hearing me. I mean, can you hear God in an audible voice? Yeah, you can, but that's not the most common way. The most common way is really like an impression, a leading, an intuitive feeling, just a sense. It's just kind of like a knowing that you have. And a lot of times it's testing this way, and just feeling where your peace is. So it's just kind of a spiritual awareness. And we use the term hearing just because that's probably the closest thing to being able to sense his presence and sense his leading, right? So like I said, you know, if you look at your journey, a lot of it, if you have victory in your life, if you're having success, if there's some good things happening, it's probably because you're hearing God and you're being led by him. The way I like to think of it is God's voice is almost like a wavelength. Like, if you can think of it in terms of AM and FM radio stations, right? So AM to me would be like the natural world, the carnal, like when you're just kind of plugged into the world that's going on around you, like your senses, your physical ears and just your mind, when your mind's being carnal. FM station would be like God's voice, right? And so a lot of times what happens is we're living life on the AM station and we're running life, but God's on the FM station. And so we have to tune ourselves to be able to tune into the FM station that God is speaking on. And so that takes a process of becoming sensitive to that station, to that wavelength. Or it can be like a tuning fork, like I talked about last week with Daniel Kalenda, about this tuning fork of here, you're vibrating at this level, but God's at this level. And so it's tuning yourself to the point where you can actually be in tune with his level. So this is a process that we all work through. Why do we want to hear his voice? Well, we want to know him, right? Remember, a friend of mine once shared with me, I thought this was such a good word from the Lord. She was having difficulties with her father. Her mother and father had divorced. Her mother had remarried, and she had a pretty good relationship with her mom and her stepdad, but she didn't have a good relationship with her natural father. And it really bothered her. And so she went to the Lord about it, and the Lord said to her, "You were mine before you were ever anyone else's." And I thought that was so beautiful, that sometimes we get caught up on like natural relationships that maybe aren't working out, and we allow ourselves to be rejected by them and define our self-worth by them. But we were God's before we were anyone else's. And so he's the one we need to know. He's the voice we need to hear, because he's the only one who can really truly speak truth into our lives, or those who are listening to him can reflect that to us, right? But it's his voice that we need to hear, because he's the one who tells us truth. He tells us who we are. He tells us the plans for him that he has for us, and he's able to lead us and guide us. So we were designed to hear his voice. He created us. He created everything, right, by speaking. The dust that we're even created from, he spoke into, right? He breathed in to make us. But if everything is a product of his word, then it'd be pretty important to hear his word. So we want to be able to hear that. Let's go to John chapter 6, verse 45. John 6:45. It says, "It is written in the prophets, quote, and they shall all be taught by God. Therefore, everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me." Right? Because that cometh to me. Oh, we're doing King James. Oh, I forgot to download. We forgot to download New King James. It's been a busy week, folks. Okay, so I'm reading from New King James, but that's doing King James. Anyway, but so what is this saying? That is saying that if you've come to Jesus, if you've come to Jesus, that means you have heard and learned from God. So if you've come to Jesus, you've heard from God, because you couldn't have come to him without hearing and learning from God. So you have heard God's voice just in the fact that you have a relationship with Jesus. Let's go to Matthew 17:5. Matthew 17:5. And so in the New King James, it says, "This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Hear him." So if you've come to Christ, it means you've heard the Father. If you've come to Christ, you've heard the Father. Jesus says, or God says about Jesus, "This is my beloved son. Hear him." So he wants us to hear Jesus. We're to hear Jesus. If we go to John 16:13, John 16:13. It says, however, this is New King James, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. So this is telling us that the Holy Spirit, like we were designed to hear the Holy Spirit, right? So because he's going to tell us things to come. So what does this say to me? This says that we are designed to hear the Father, we're designed to hear the Son, and we're designed to hear the Holy Spirit. All three of them, we are designed to hear from them. And I don't know about other people, but I can a lot of times tell who's speaking to me. Like when I'll hear something, and I just can sense if it's the Holy Spirit, if it's the Father, or if it's the Son. That's just me. I don't know that everybody's like that, but I can just get a sense of who's speaking to me when I'm hearing. So we're designed to hear all of it. Let's go to John chapter 5, verse 37. John chapter 5, verse 37. You are getting so fast. Look at you go, girl. We just need the right version of the Bible. Anyway, so John 5:37, it says, And the Father himself, which hath sent me, hath borne witness of me. Ye have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape or form. So this is Jesus talking to the religious people. This is very interesting. He's talking to the religious, and he says that they have not heard his voice nor seen his form. This is the religious Jews. These are the people who spent years and years in seminary. seminary. Right? So this is what he's saying. Like, he's saying this to the religious people, and then you go to the next verse. It says, but you do not have his word abiding in you, because whom he sent, him you do not believe. Now, isn't that amazing? Because these are people who memorized the first five books of the Torah, right? This is one of the things they did. They memorized the scriptures. And yet he says to them that the word is not abiding in them. So there's a difference between memorizing the word and having the word abiding in you. There's a huge difference. The word abiding, we've talked about this before, it means to stay in a given place, state, relation, or expectancy. In other words, they had taken the book and they had intellectually memorized it, but they didn't have a relationship with it. They didn't know the God who spoke it into existence. They didn't know the Lord. And how does he know that? Go to the next scripture, John 5:39. He says, search the scriptures, you search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. So he's saying to them, listen, if you really had a relationship with the scriptures, then you would know that those scriptures testify of me. If you go to the next one, John 5:40, but you are not willing to come to me that you may have life. So this is the thing that people say, oh, this is the method of remembering scripture, I memorize scripture. And I'm not against memorizing scripture, but that is not your claim to knowing God. It is not your claim. You can have the whole book memorized and still have no relationship with Jesus. And so he wants the word to abide in us. In other words, it's a living thing. It's a relationship. It's the word inside of us that is God-breathed and comes alive. Let's go to Romans 10:17. You know, all of the scripture was pointing to a person. Scripture points to a person. It's a book, but it goes beyond the book. In Romans 10:17, it says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And I was reading a book by Barry Bennett on hearing God, and I thought this was so good. He said, how can you tell if you've really heard God? He was using this scripture. How can you tell if you've really heard God? If you've really heard God, you'll have faith. Amen. If you've really heard God, you'll have faith. In other words, it's not, oh, I know by his stripes I'm healed. It's when God breathes on that scripture and God speaks that scripture to you and you've heard him, that all of a sudden faith is the byproduct of that. So if you've really heard God, the faith will be there. I thought that was a really good insight. Right? Now, this is the first time I'm giving Barry Bennett credit after that. Now I get to take it. <I'm> joking. that's what Andrew says, right? The first time I give person credit, after that, it's mine. but that's the thing, is that's why if we want to hear God, right, we have to spend time in his word, but it's when it becomes God-breathed that it becomes real to us. And so that's what I want to talk about today, is just some very basic, a lot of you might know this, already do this, but it's just very foundational. Like, how do we tune ourselves more and more into being able to hear his voice? So one of the things is reading God's word out loud is really powerful, because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God, and then meditating on God's word. So first off, when you spend time with the Lord, okay, it's good to spend time with the Lord, just you and him, away from all the distractions, because the first thing we need to do is get a sense of his voice, right? And it's hard to do when you have a multitude of distractions going on around you. Now, you can get to the point where you become so familiar with the voice in the quiet place that you can eventually discern it even in the noisy place, right? You can still hear his voice. But to really get sensitive to it, you need to first start off in the quiet place. At least that's my experience. So one thing to do is when you're spending time alone with the Lord, this is something the Lord spoke to me, and I know Randy's used it with some of you, is that I was going into my room to spend time with him. This was out, we were in Colorado, and he spoke to me as I walked in the door, and he said to me, I want you to have no agenda. In other words, I'm going here to just spend time with him, and it's not like, well, I have my this I do, and I do this. Like, it's not a formula, right? You're going to meet with a person, and he's already there waiting for you. Right? So you're going in and you're going to meet with a person. And so you take it that way. Like, it's not, you're sitting there and he's with you. The Father's there. The Holy Spirit's there. Jesus is there. They want you to have a revelation of the Word and know them deeply and intimately even more than you do. Right? So you're not trying to get something from God. And so a lot of times a good place to start out is just by worship. I know Amy shared with me that, like, if she wakes up in the morning, and I do this now too, it's like you wake up in the morning and you have a worship song playing in your mind or your heart. Like, start off there. Like, maybe pull that song up on YouTube or your phone or whatever and just worship, because that's kind of the Holy Spirit calling you, right? So just start off with worship. Because why? Because you wake up, and a lot of times we're on AM when we wake up, right? And he's on FM. And one way to bridge the gap between AM and FM is worship. Right? Because you just start worshiping him. You start honoring him, just blessing him, just glorifying him. And that raises you up so you can begin to hear the FM station. So go in there without an agenda. And all you're doing is you're going there to spend time with him. Now, he wants you to look at the Word. He wants you to see the Word with your own eyes. He wants you to open the Bible up, and he wants you to read it. So that's important, because people tell me I can't hear God, and I say to them, okay, well, just open the Bible and start reading, and guess what? You're hearing God, because that's his Word, and you're speaking it, so now you're hearing God. So mission accomplished. We're done. Okay? So it's very simple. If you just start opening the Word up, and you just start speaking it out loud, right? You are hearing God. Each day, what I do is just going into him, going in to spend time with him, and just ask him where he wants you to start. Do you know you can ask him? You can just say, Lord, where would you like me to go? What would you like me to read? Now, if you already have like a Bible reading program, I mean, some people have like, you know, read the Bible in a year. That's great. If you're doing that, fine. But go to where you have, but ask him to speak to you from those scriptures that day, right? So when you start going through the scriptures, when you read the scripture out loud, but then pause after it. Don't race through because you want to check off your list that you read Romans 10. Like, what happens if you only do verse 1, but you get a revelation of verse 1? Like, wouldn't that be awesome? So you're not going through a checklist to try to check it off your list of things to do. You sit down with the scripture and you just start speaking it out loud and asking the Lord, Lord, I want you to speak to me through this. Talk to me. So read a verse and then say to him, Lord, you know, what do you want to show me in this verse? I spent a year and a half, I'm a slow learner, I spent a year and a half in Romans 6 verses 1 through 14. Every time I would sit down with the Lord, it was Romans 6, 1 through 14. And I would read it. If you go, like, look at my Bible, like Romans 6, like that whole page is like really worn thin. It's got all kinds of notes and highlights and everything. Like Romans 6, 1 through 14. And he had me camp there for like a year and a half. Do you know that that's okay? Because if you get a revelation of that scripture, like it can, the whole Bible will fall into place for you. Right? So it's not about volume. You know, it's just like, it's not quantity time, it's quality time. It really is about just sitting down with him as a relationship. He is the Word. And so you sit down with him and you go ahead and you say, Lord, where would you like me to go? And like I said, if you feel like you can't even hear him at this point to be able to hear that, then just go someplace you feel led to, or go to your Bible reading program, whatever it is, and just start there. But read a verse, stop, listen, ask him questions. Maybe he'll ask you a question. Ask him, Lord, what do you want me to get from this? Why are you having me read this? Have a dialogue with him. Don't do it just as something you can check off your list. Let him talk to you. And it's amazing because this is how you begin tuning into his voice, tuning into what he's saying. So listen after every verse. Ask him what he wants to say to you. Look at the meaning. Look up the meaning of words. This is really important. First of all, so this is our Strong's Concordance in our house. It's well used. Okay? So, anyway, I had to bring it in a box. If you really want to hear the Lord, I would really recommend getting a Strong's Concordance with vines in it. Okay? I would really recommend this because, of course, I'm a teacher, and when you're a teacher, you want to know the meaning of words. But you, when you go in here and you find words, words mean so much more than what we can convey in English. Do you know that that the word know, K-N-O-W, there's four different words between the Greek and Hebrew for that word. And when I realized that, and they're very different, one is intellectual knowing. One is deep experiential knowing. And so when you read the Bible and it says no, you just are thinking, probably most likely because we're Western, we're thinking intellectual knowledge. But that's not what's being conveyed in the scripture, because the word no can also be the intimate relationship between a husband and wife, right? So I remember when I first realized this, I went to my Strong's Concordance and I copied the definitions of the four different words and I put them on a piece of paper, then I color-coded them, like red, yellow, green, blue, and then I went to my Bible and I started, like wherever the no was, like I would color-code whether it was red, yellow, green, or blue. This Bible now, I had to retire it fell apart. But anyway, so that when I would read the word, I would have next to me what definition of the word know it was. And so I would read the word when I saw that, and so it helped me to understand in greater ways. So, and how is that, why is that important? Because there's stuff being conveyed in scripture that we don't always catch when we just do a surface reading. Right? But if we understand the different definitions and the different meanings of the word, then we can have a richer understanding. Let's go to John chapter 21. This is a really good example of this. John chapter 21. And we're going to go to verse 15. So I'm going to read this in New King James, just because it's a little easier. But so when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, and I'm going to go through verse 17, Amy. Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, feed my lambs. He said to him again a second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, tend my sheep. He said to him the third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Now, when you read that, this is between Jesus and Peter, because he had denied Peter three times, or Peter had denied Jesus three times. This is the restoration of Jesus for Peter. But what you don't understand is that we use the word love, like, do you love me? And Peter, Jesus says, do you love me? And Peter says, yes, I love you. But what you don't understand is those are two different words. Jesus is saying, do you agape me? Do you unconditionally, passionately love me? And Peter is saying, I phileo you, which is brotherly love, like the city of Philadelphia. And then Jesus says to him, Peter, do you agape love me? And Peter says to him, I phileo love you. So then finally Jesus says to him, do you phileo love me? And then Peter says to him, mourns and says, of God, Jesus, you know all things, I agape love you. Now if you didn't understand that, if you didn't look into the scripture, you wouldn't see the nuances, because it all got translated the word love in when it went to the English. Because we don't have different kinds of words for love. We just have, you know, you love ice cream and you love your wife. I mean, really? Like, really? Like, is it the same kind of love for ice cream that you have for your wife? You know? So we don't understand that. So that's why really taking a concordance and a Vine's dictionary and really sitting down. And Holy Spirit, when you sit down to read the word, Holy Spirit will say, look up this word. Look up this word. Because he's saying there's more for you to understand. So it's important to have resources available that you can go and you can look. The other thing I would say to you is have different Bible translations. Because because the same way that, like I said, the different words have meanings, so we also have, when you have different translations, it can help deepen what you see in the scripture. And a good example is when I first went out to Bible college, because Andrew used the King James Version, I had a Bible that was a parallel Bible. You can get what they call parallel Bibles, which meant it had both the King James and the Amplified in the Bible. And so, and it runs them together. Of course, the King James would be this big and the Amplified would be like this big. Because so, Amplified is Amplified. But you can have, that helps to have multiple translations, because one may convey something in a way that it's easier for you to understand. For example, for me, when I spend personal time with the Lord, when I'm just studying just for me, because I get up in the morning and the first couple of hours I spend with the Lord, it's just me time. I'm not preparing for a message. I'm not trying to do anything other than just deepen my relationship with Him. I use the Passion Translation during that time because I love that. I love that. It just really speaks to me. But I don't teach from the Passion Translation. I teach from the New King James. So that's my time. But it really helps to use different translations. I know Randy likes the New Living, Amy likes the New Living Translation. When I was at Bible college and I was using the King James, there was a number of students who had this Bible, which is called the Spirit-Filled Life Bible. And it comes in different versions. So I've got a New King James Version, right? But it's a Spirit-Filled Life. The commentary in this Bible is all based on being a Spirit-filled believer. So they believe in the gifts of the Spirit. They believe in talking in tongues. They believe in healing is for today. They believe in laying on the hands of the sick and they recover. They believe in that, and so their commentary is all based on that. But when Randy got this, well, not this particular Bible, but he got me the Spirit-Filled Life Bible, New King James Version for Christmas. It's the one that has since fallen apart. But when he got it for me, and I sat down and started reading it, because I had been reading King James, when I started reading New King James, it was like the Bible opened up to me. It was like, oh my gosh, because I didn't have to do the these, thou, shalts, and everything. Like, my Bible didn't have, my mind didn't have to translate everything. Like, it's just like it started leaping off the word for me. It was easier to read. So it's important for you to find a Bible that's really easy for you to read and then have multiple versions that you can have so that when you go to a particular scripture and the Holy Spirit says, well, look at it in this version or look at it in this version or look up this word, you have those resources available to be able to look. Of course, having it on your phone is real easy, right? You can just switch. You can switch from one to another. I would not be able to preach if I didn't have hands. Anyway, so it's really important. So then, when you're just meditating on God's word, meditate. You know, well, a lot of times we think of meditation as being quiet, but it means to mutter, right? And it means to ponder, to whisper. So that's what I mean about speaking out loud. Is it's not about just reading the word and keeping it all inside. Like, it's important for you also to be muttering it and speaking it. Meditation includes verbalizing. I mean, it doesn't always do that, but it does include that. And then it's also, meditation includes pondering and imagining. So let's go to John chapter 7, verse 38. John chapter 7, verse 38. It says, he who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly will flow rivers of living water. Now, the word belly in the New King James is translated heart. And that always bothered me because I liked the fact that I thought, well, did they change it? Well, I looked up, what does belly mean? Belly means for the innermost part of man, the soul, the heart, seat of thought, feeling, or choice. So that's why New King James translated as heart, because it kind of encompasses all of that. But if you take that scripture and you think, okay, so he who believes in Jesus, out of his belly will flow rivers of living water, right? Or out of his heart. And so you just sit for a minute with that scripture. So he who believes, well, I believe, right? I believe. So this scripture is saying that out of my belly or out of my heart is going to flow rivers of living water. So you just sit with that. And then you begin to meditate on it. You begin to speak it out loud. You begin to visualize it and contemplate, okay, what does that mean, Lord? That means wherever I go, right, that out of my being, because you live inside of me, rivers of living water flow out of me. So, and as you just meditate on that and picture it and ponder it, now that scripture can start becoming more and more alive to you. And now when you're out in the marketplace or you're out wherever, that picture can come back to you that you visualize of yourself and having rivers of living water flowing out of you. That is taking the scripture and allowing it to become personal and alive in your life, right? And these are all things that help us, because then what happens, that means when you take that scripture and you're meditating on it, when you're out in your daily life, what are you doing? You've tuned into not the AM frequency of, well, I'm just somebody out here doing my chores. You've tuned into the FM frequency that says, I'm walking around and there's rivers of living water flowing out of my belly. So you've just tuned, you're now hearing God, and you're not living on the AM level, you're living on the FM level. Right? But that all comes from just spending time with him. Let's go to John chapter 8, verse 32. You shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Now you can just take this one scripture, just give you an example. Again, personalized scripture. Like you can read Ephesians chapter 1, 2, and 3 and make it I. Make it about you. Personalize it. We'll take this scripture here and say, so if you just take this and you're speaking it out loud, you're muttering it to yourself, and you start with, and I shall know the truth, and the truth shall make me free. I shall know the truth, and the truth will make me free. I shall know the truth, and the truth will make me free. I shall know the truth, and the truth will make me free. Do you see how just accenting a different word in the scripture and pausing afterwards can really deepen the meaning of it? Where we can just read through it so casually, but you could take this scripture and you could spend a half hour on it. Just meditating on what is, and after you say it, like, and I shall know the truth, and the truth shall make me free. And then just let the Lord speak to you. Holy Spirit, what do you want to show that about me? What do you want to show me about that? Just resting after it, pausing, and giving him a chance to talk. Again, we're not here to just get stuff crossed off of our to-do list. We're there to spend time with him. So we want to repeat. The other thing is that, you know, a lot of times we can be looking at scripture and we focus on it. And if you know other scripture, but you can focus on one particular scripture, and the Lord can start taking pieces of what you know and start expanding it so that instead of just looking at this little tree in the forest and focusing on that, all of a sudden you take a few steps back and all of a sudden you can see the whole forest. You can see the big picture. A good example of that is just when you got saved, if you're anything like me, your definition of being saved was about this big. And as you spend more time in the Word and understand the reality of the kingdom of God and the new creation in Christ and who you are and what Jesus really did on the cross and what the blood did, all of a sudden that little revelation of being saved becomes bigger and bigger and bigger. And finally, when you see the fullness of it, you go to your knees because you realize what Jesus did for you. But when you started out, it was only this big. But as you meditated on it and he was able to speak to you and show you greater things and how the big puzzle all fits together, all of a sudden it's this incredible mural that is amazing, right? And you can see the whole, we still see in part, but it helps expand the whole picture. But that all comes from just sitting and reading the word, getting to understand more and more what it means, spending time in his presence, letting him speak to you, and letting him open up the word by you having a dialogue with him. Have a dialogue with him. Ask him questions. He wants you to ask him questions. He wants you to come to him. Let's look at Joshua 1:8. And I'm just finishing up here. Joshua 1:8. What are the benefits of meditating on God's word? Joshua 1:8 says, "This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then you shall make your way prosperous, and then you shall have good success." So what are the benefits of meditating on the word? First of all, it leads you to observe to do according to all that's written. So your doing comes from meditation. It doesn't come from knowing. Your doing comes from meditation on the word. And then it also makes your way prosperous, and you have good success. Anybody in here want to be prosperous and have good success? Right? Right? Well, how does that come? It comes from meditating on the word. If we go to Psalm chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, Psalm 1, it says, blessed, well, let me see what it says here. This book of the law, oh, no, we're not there yet. Sorry. Psalm 1, 1 through 3. Psalm 1, 1 through 3. "So blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful." Verse 2. "But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night." Verse 3. "And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper." So meditating on the word is going to make you fruitful. It's going to make you healthy because it won't wither, and you're going to be prosperous. Philippians 4:8. Philippians 4:8 says, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things." And so it's meditate on these things. You know, this is powerful. It's what are we thinking on? What are we meditating on? What are we thinking about throughout the day? You know, there's a script that can just run through our mind that's just kind of garbage, and it's not focusing on that. It's focusing on the word. And when the Lord used this scripture also to talk to me about the way I thought about myself. So whatever's true about you, whatever's honest about you, whatever's just about you, whatever is pure about you, whatever is lovely about you, whatever is of good report, if there's any virtue and if there's any praise about you, think on these things. So yes, it's in the world and the way we look at things, but it's also in the way we see ourselves. Are we meditating on the good things about who we are in Christ? Right? So, but this is what happens. Our meditation, there is fruit from our meditation. There's fruit from the time that we spend with the Lord. There's fruit from us studying the word. But it all comes down to just focusing on him, spending time with him, setting time apart with him, and allowing him to speak to us. Another thing that is, a couple things, just last things is, first of all, praying in tongues. Past couple of weeks were a real challenge, and it was like, my mind was like, wild horses. I'm like, what in the world? Finally, it was just like, the Lord was just like, pray in tongues. I'm like, okay, Lord. And just started praying in tongues. So that's another way, again, that'll get you from the AM station to the FM station. Pray in tongues. When you don't know, I mean, we should pray in tongues all the time, but especially if you're in a situation where you're just really struggling, just pray in tongues. Like, that's like a thing you can grab onto, because that's going to take you from the AM station to the FM station. And the last thing I just wanted to say is, remember, you know, like, for example, Paul's epistles in here. He didn't write this for us to intellectually know his scriptures. Like, when he said that we're seated with Jesus in heavenly places, he wasn't saying that as an intellectual theological concept. That was his experience, folks. He had been there. Like, he knew that he was seated with Jesus in heavenly places. How did he know that? He just had the Old Testament. Because he spent a few years in the desert with Jesus. And Jesus had breathed on the Old Testament to such an extent that we have all these epistles from Paul that what he was sharing with us was not, I mean, was it good doctrine? Yes. But that wasn't the purpose of it. The purpose of it was to share with us the truth of the reality of what Jesus had done for us, because this was Paul's experiential knowing. Amen. Right? This was his reality. He was sharing with us a reality. And he says in Ephesians that I write these things so that you can have the same revelation that I have. Like, he's not writing it because he just knows it and wants us to see all that he knows. He wrote it so that we would enter in and we would, through the power of the Holy Spirit, we would take that word and meditate on it and chew on it and ponder it and look up what the words mean and do all of that stuff so we could ponder it, so we would become the flesh and it would become our reality. And so that is, then when you're walking in that place, that's when you're hearing the Lord. That's when you're walking in the Spirit. That's when your life lines up according to the Spirit. Not that tough things don't happen, but we can live from that place. But it all comes from studying the Word of God, meditating on the Word of God, pondering the Word of God, and all of that will lead you to hearing His voice. And His voice, our life is connected to the voice. And it's really important, you know, Bill Johnson said this one time, and I thought this was so good, that God will speak to you and tell you to do something, and then bring someone into your life who God has spoken to do exactly the opposite. And he'll do that to you just to say, are you listening to my voice or are you looking at others? In other words, he'll tell one person, I want you to have a strict budget, watch all of your money, you need to really do this. And the other person is like, you just need to give liberally. And he'll put you both in your life together. And he's really doing that because it's like, are you going to follow me or are you going to follow what other people are doing? He tests us that way. And not that he's bad, he wants you to learn how to hear his voice. Not based on what somebody else is saying or doing around you, but based on what he's telling you to do. Right? So just remember that do we need godly counseling? Absolutely we need God. Safety is a multitude of counselors. We need godly counselors. But there are going to be times where God's going to speak to you and tell you to go in a certain direction, and not necessarily everybody around you is doing that. But you need to trust that you're hearing him and follow him. Amen? So Lord, we just thank you so much for your presence here. We just thank you for your love. Lord, we just thank you so much for the victory that we have in Henry being with you and the party he's having up there in heaven. We thank you, Lord, that you are guiding each one of us into a place of learning to hear your voice clearer and clearer, because, Lord, that is the voice we want to follow. So, Lord, in different areas that we are lambs, Lord, help us to grow up into sheep, to be able to know your voice clearly, follow you in all that we do, not only for our own lives, but for the purposes of others, so that we can speak into others' lives with confidence because we know that we're hearing you. And we just thank you for this, Lord. We give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.